Somebody praise his name. Yeah. Thank God. Just a sinner saved by grace. Man, I like that part in there. I don't know about you. I like that part when they start talking about my freedom. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And I thank God for the liberty I have in Christ Jesus. And I thank God for the freedom I have in America. Amen. Yes, sir. I want you to turn your Bible this morning. Oh, it is. Turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. I'll take you to my text verse in a moment. Proverbs chapter 29. Every 4 years, I do what I call an election sermon. Every 4 years. And some of you are probably glad. You say, boy, I'm glad it's just 4 years. I want you to know something. What we're going to be doing Tuesday, this is the most consequential election of your lifetime. And I want to make a statement. I'm going to be real careful today. I'm going to make a statement. We're voting for more than the head of this nation. If that's what you think, you're not correct. We're actually voting for the heading of this nation. The question that will be answered Tuesday is, what direction, and this is the title today, will America go? How many agree with that? It's not necessarily Donald Trump and Joe Biden. That's not. No, it's what direction will this country go? I'm going to give you a biblical and historical view this morning on what direction we ought to go. Now, I want to say this to you. You are free to disagree with me, if you like. And I want y'all to know, whether you believe this or not, I invite people of different views to be in my church. That's America. I believe in that. But I want all you to know, I will not compromise this pulpit to appease you. Because I fear God more than I fear you. And I want to say this. I want to please God more than I want to please you. Somebody help me. Thank God. And disagree if you will. And by the way, I'd like for everybody online to share this. And you, when you get out of this service, share this. Because this will be one of the most important messages I've preached in a long time. I want you to share this. Now, there's just two things I'm not going to allow. I won't allow you to be divisive nor disruptive. That's why there's police all over this building. And if you get disruptive, we're going to help you start a jail ministry. Amen? I'm aware of the platform I have. And I'm aware of the spirit that preachers ought to preach on during this time that we're living. I want to say this to you. I will today show some righteous indignation. But I want you to know, I wrote these statements down. I'm going to be real careful. I want you to hear them. I am angry. And I want to tell you what I'm angry about. At the spiritual forces of evil that have hijacked the hearts and the minds of people in the effort to capture the soul of America. I'm angry at the demonic principles and by extension, the demonic people that have influenced millennials, the Generation X group, and the Generation Z group. Should preachers, a question is, enter in ever into the political realm? Should we ever do that? I want to answer that by way of introduction. I'll give you my text in a moment. In 1440 B.C., was Moses being political or biblical when he confronted Pharaoh for the liberty of his people and called down judgment upon them? In 870 B.C., was Elijah political or biblical when he challenged Ahab and Jezebel and their advisors for their policies they had toward the people? Should in AD 29, John the Baptist, should he have remained quiet and not confronted Herod for his wickedness and debauchery? In AD 30, when Pilate brought Jesus before the crowd and said to him, and I'll paraphrase, "Don't you know that I have power to free you or crucify you?" And Jesus looked at him and said, "You don't have any power at all unless God give it to you." In AD 33, was Peter and John political or biblical when they were told not to preach the gospel, and yet they preached it anyhow? I want to ask you, in 54 AD, was Paul political or biblical when he preached in Ephesus and there was a great disruption of the people and the policies and the politics and everything was turned upside down? I want to ask you, in 1775, was the preacher Jonas Clark of Lexington, Massachusetts, political or biblical when he got his church and gathered a great number of men of his church and established a militia to fight the British? Amen. Amen. In 1830, there was a man that was raised up. Was he political or biblical when Charles Finney, the great preacher of the Second Awakening, passionately wanted the deliverance of slaves? Was he political or biblical? In 1954, was Dr. George McPherson Dockery political or biblical when he preached under God and President Eisenhower put in our pledge under God? In 1963, was Martin Luther King political or biblical when he stood up for human rights and the rights of every Christian creature and eventually gave his life for it? Was he political or biblical? How many of y'all with me this morning? What are we going to be this morning? Are we going to rest everything on the Word of God? we're going to try to be politically correct.
Amen, preacher.
I ask you that. Now, do you have your Bible? Wave them at me if you have them. Because I'm going to preach the Bible this morning. Here is my election day sermon. Which direction we'll go? Look at Proverbs 29 and 2. This is not John Smith writing this. This is not the word of John Smith. This is the word of the wisest man that ever lived outside of Jesus. His name was Solomon. Look what he said in verse number 2. Are y'all there? When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. How many believes that's the Bible? How many of y'all believe it's as much the Bible as John 3:16? That's the wisest man in the world saying this: when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bears rule, the people mourn. I'll give you three things and I'll be done. First of all, the heading of a nation. Look what it said. When the righteous are in authority. There's two views here. The people rejoice. But when the wicked bears rule, the people what? Mourn. Now what do we mean by authority here? Authority is for everyone in this room to place ourselves under the power of God and the principles of God that was given us. How many of y'all believe we ought to follow God and not follow man?
Amen.
I believe that.
Amen.
Amen. And then it said, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. What do you mean by bearing rule? Let me explain it. When you make your rules, your own rules, instead of following God's rules. When you force your morality on someone instead of standing for truth. Let me really make it clear. When you call evil good, and good evil. It's real plain. We follow God, this nation will survive. We follow the devil, and we follow our own rules. We are going down the tubes. And you know I'm telling the truth. This is not a Democrat-Republican issue. It's not an independent issue. This is either being biblical or worldly. It's either going God's way or our way. Number two. I want you to see this. Am I doing all right? It's going to get stiffer, so y'all need to get in here. Not only the heading of a nation, but listen to this. The heart of the nation. Will you turn just a moment in Proverbs? Stay there and just go to Proverbs 23 and verse 7a. 23:7a. If you're there, say amen. I just want the first part of this. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Amen.
There is no greater reflection of a nation's heart than the way in which it reflects righteousness and unrighteousness. Amen. Now, here's what I'm going to do. How many of y'all agree it's between righteousness and unrighteousness?
Amen.
How many of you believe it's between right and wrong?
Amen.
I'll never tell you who to vote for. That is not in me. But I will tell you how a Christian ought to vote. And you line the people together. Line them up to it. Not according to what I say, but what the Bible says. The heart of a nation. Now here's what I want to do. I'm going to go over several issues. And I'll give you two alternatives. I'll give you a more liberal view. And I'll give you a more biblical conservative view. And let's decide. And we'll do it in alphabetic order so we won't be prejudiced to one thing or another. Okay?
Amen.
Number one, abortion. 61 million babies have been killed since 1973. Did y'all know that? Around 1 million to 1.3 is killed in America every year. I will say something positive. In the last couple of years, it's been a little less than 1 million because of the effort of adoption agencies, and people are being more aware because of technology of really what's going on in the womb. The liberal view is this. A woman has a right to decide what happens to her body. And that really sounds somewhat pleasing. But here's where it gets real bad. A fetus is not a human life. So it does not have separate individual rights. In other words, that baby that is in your womb, Rachel, I notice you're starting to show a little. That baby's in your room is just a fetus and it's not a life. And you can choose all the way up to when you birth it to kill it. Or we believe what the Bible says, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
And that when God said they was going to have a man child, that must have meant that was more than a fetus. Somebody help me preach. That issue alone ought to stir us to the core. The biblical view is human life begins at conception. Abortion is the murder of a human being. An unborn baby is as alive and human and as vibrant than anyone. And it boils down to, by the way, I want to tell all y'all something. I do not believe, and you hear me, in taxpayer dollars going to abortion. And then we go into the area of affirmative action and racism. I want y'all to know if you're a Christian, you are against racism. Ain't no Christian can be for racism.
Right. Amen.
Somebody help me.
Amen.
But let's put it this way. And here's the view, the more liberal view says, due to prevalent racism in the past, minorities were deprived of the same education, employment as others, and the government must work to level the playing field. And that we're still a racist nation. Now, here's what I think about that. I do believe there's racism in America. But I don't believe we're systemically racist. And we've come a long ways. But I am against every form of racism. When that policeman put his knee on George Floyd and choked the life out of him, that was as indecent and as ungodly as any act ever done. And we ought to call it both ways. Am I preaching? But the more conservative view is this. Individuals should be admitted into schools and hired, not on just the basis of their color, but on their ability. Amen. Death penalty. The liberal view is to abolish death penalty. The conservative view is the death penalty is biblical and was ordained of God. And God ordained it before He ordained the law. The economy. Y'all with me? The liberal view, and this is really on the ballot. A market system with a government regulations is the economy that is best. Or government must protect citizens from big business. And unlike the private sector, the government is motivated for the public interest. And that we have a government that is socialistic, and we run run everything by the government. Or we believe in a free market system, comparative capitalism, private enterprise gives the greatest opportunity and the highest standard of living. I'll give you another one. I've got to hurry. Embryonic stem cell research. The liberal view is to support the use of embryos. Take aborted babies, fetuses, and use that for the expiration for cure of health issues. The conservative view is that we can use adult and the umbilical cord for stem cells only for research. And it is morally and ethically wrong for the government to fund stem cell research. Amen. With the fetuses of aborted babies. There's a lot at stake, aren't there? Am I preaching? Global warming. The liberal view is global warming is caused by the increase in production of carbon dioxide through the burning of fossil fuels, coal, oil, natural gas, and that we are the major contributors of climate change. The conservative view is the change in global temperature is natural over long periods of time. Science has not shown that humans can affect permanent change to the Earth's temperature. And by the way, you want to know what's going to be at issue? And if this don't scare you, ain't nothing going to scare you. I went and got gas yesterday. I think it was $2.09. If those that promote the destruction of gas, destruction of fossil fuels, I said fossil fools. That's okay. Your gasoline in the next 6 months is going to be about $5 to $6 a gallon. Can't help you. Because see, right now we're independent. Energy independent. But we'll be back like the 70s when we were dependent on OPEC. Somebody help me preach. Let me say a couple more. Immigration. The liberal side says support legal immigration. I do too. Support amnesty for those that entered into the U.S. illegally. Also believe that undocumented immigrants have the right financial aid, welfare, Social Security, and Medicare, and the right to vote. Conservative view is support legal immigration only oppose amnesty for those who enter the U.S. illegally, those who break the law by coming into the U.S. illegally. The border should be secure. I'm going to give you one more that ought to scare the living daylights out of you. This one, I'm going to give you more than one more, but I'm going to give you this one. This one scares the living daylights out of me. And it's one that's been neglected. Private property. Government has the right, the liberal view, to eminent domain, the seizure of private property by the government with compensation to the owner. The conservative view says we need to respect ownership of property and private property. And, hey, we believe in private property. I'll give you at least two more. Gun control. The liberal view is that guns were only for establishing the militia, and that you do not have the right to own a gun. And it's not for your protection. And that goes completely against the Constitution. Actually, Second Amendment. Get it right, son. Listen to this one. I'm done. I'm finishing. I'm going to give you the last point. Same-sex marriage. Liberal view, marriage is a union of people who love each other. It should be legal for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender individuals. And if y'all don't understand this election right now, and what's going to happen if a certain party gets in, and when they pack the Supreme Court, it is all about promoting same-sex marriage, abortion on demand. Somebody help me preach. I want y'all to know something. I'm going to just say it. The Bible is against the sin of homosexuality. And it's just not Old Testament. It's also Romans 1. And by the way, since we're in the alphabet, the last one is taxes. The liberal view is going to raise your taxes by $4 trillion. The conservative view is they're going to lower your taxes. Now, I've been told that under the liberals that they will not raise my middle income taxes. That is a lie from hell. Because when they do away with the current tax code, they are raising your taxes. When they take away your child credit, they are raising your taxes. Now, I said all that to say this. Don't vote on how I tell you. Vote on those issues where you believe the Bible lines up. Is that fair? Lastly, the heating of a nation. Look back to 29:2 and I'm done. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Will a nation who chooses a direction that is against God be able to heed the warnings of Scripture? How many of y'all? Wherever you stand on this issue, how many of y'all have mourned at our streets being on fire? How many has it upset you? Our street, our country is on fire. And by the way, I want every one of y'all to know this. I believe in public protest. Whether it's for any issue, I just don't believe in violence. I don't believe in rioting. I don't believe in a man that has given his whole life for a business that be burnt up in 10 seconds. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. Do you? Hey, I mourn. Hey, I mourn. When I read this morning of over a million babies aborted so far this year, I'm mourning. I'm mourning that our rights, we're losing our rights every day. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to sit before you, and you can edit it if you like. Okay? I want all y'all to know, if the next president locks down our country, I'm not locking the church.
Amen.
I am coming to church. And I'm going to preach the gospel. And I am not locking down. While you listen to me, I'm not doing it. And I want y'all to know that. I just tell you straight out going in. I am not going. And I got scripture for it. Who do you obey? God or man? And God said, not forsake assembling yourselves together. Yes, we're going to wear masks. Yes, we're going to cleanse our hands. Yes, we're going to be protective of each other. But we are not locking down, because we need to unlock the power of God and the blood of Jesus and make a difference through our preaching. Can you say amen to at least that?
Amen.
Here's my invitation today. Whether you're on the right or left, don't matter. I'm not fussy. Can you stand right now? How many can do this today? Come around this altar and pray for the direction of our nation. And pray for revival in our day. Stand with me. I'm finished. Our Father, God help us as we gather and we pray.